Blog
Radiant light beings, and welcome to Awakening. I love that song. I just really do. That piece of music, I guess, is more aptly put. That Sunrise by Thunderbeat. And I am Michelle Mache. I'm your host. I'm your co-pilot. I'm your facilitator. And here we go again one more time. Let's call it in. Hey, everyone in the chat. Great to see you. Kathy, Sylvia, great chat, and yes, welcome, Lisa. Welcome, all of you. Here we go again with a bit of Sunrise. Love it. Oh, I love it. I feel like the sun is ripe. Here we go. Isn't that just like life? Think something's over and it comes back. Oh, I love it. I love it. So hello to everyone. I'm just tickled to see everyone already here and those that are already on the line listening. Many of you know this is part of the converging flow, and time is a ticking. Time is a ticking to 2012, and what does that mean? It means that we're all being called. I believe every month, and Linda, my assistant, who should probably be in the chat later, reminding me of this at the council, the Oversouls and Spiritual Hierarchy wanted me to do channeling, so I will be starting to do that again in April. I'm not sure monthly or bi-monthly. Hey, Kathy, yes, teasing us. Yeah, and also Thunderbeat's going to be back on, so that's really great. Yeah, we've got such quite a family here. And Sylvia in the chat saying you muted herself. Okay. I do that sometimes myself, or sometimes I should mute myself, I think. Those of you just tuning in and going, what the heck is Awakenings? Well, it's a wonderful place to connect and recognize and realize the truth of your nature and to tap in to raise your vibrational frequency. This is the place for the star seeds, the light workers, actually anyone just really that's living awake, you know, or just waking up. So it's the place where we host dialogues, interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, conscious beings of all walks of life that are awakening, awake, and integrating this awakened state in their everyday lives. Also timely relaying of essential information, insights, and inspiration, as well as tools for transformation, spiritual unfoldment, and to connect in into the new forms. You know, you're going to see more on the internet, more radio, more MP3s to download, ebooks, because there's so much information that's coming through the downloads. We're really in a succession of quick shifts right now. Those of you, and I love when people call in and give their insight, their suggestions, or even a question, you can call in at 347-539-5122. We've got some amazing beings holding the space in the chat room, the sacred space of empowerment, and there's a lot of fun going on in there too as well. Got to keep it light, right? We're light beings, you know, so we've got to keep that lightness and that humor there that keeps us buoyant. You know, I had someone, actually a couple people, one from a couple weeks ago, I facilitated a workshop for advanced light workers. And then recently, a couple of people at a speaking small group that I was doing mentioned to me the types of people that were there. They were saying that they were shocked or didn't expect to see those kind of people there, or that kind of person there, or people that don't look, quote unquote, whatever that means, spiritual. But we know the stereotypes, right, of what seems to look spiritual. And what I can just share with everyone is that we are all encoded with the DNA, I believe as Dr. Bruce Lipton calls it, is the imagining cells. And I talked about it a little bit last week, or maybe it was Wednesday. I don't know. It's all kind of blurring together now, everyone. but we're all, and the good news is that the encoding that has, that's within us for our next level or up-leveling or up-shifting is already there inside us. What's different is some people open up and more quickly, or you know, seem to be evolving on this density or this dimension more quickly. And there are those, and many of those, you know, are tend to come here because awakenings, there's certain programs you'll see that there is part of this converging flow, and those places will tend to gather more of the advanced light workers or the people that have more advanced knowledge, and so that you can kind of get your sustenance, kind of get your reinforcement, your vibrational boost, so to speak. However, because we're in this flow of awakening, that has many awakenings. It's almost like if you've ever seen waves, you know, at the ocean, it's not just one big crashing wave. There's a lot of little waves, a lot of little waves, a lot of little waves, and then the waves get bigger and bigger, and then they roll. So it's really important to be connecting in and tracking your own personal awakenings, the opening of consciousness. It's almost like opening the eye of a lens. It opens a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Any of the photographers out there, the aperture, it doesn't just open all at once. It lets in a little bit of light, a little bit more, a little bit more. And a great photographer knows how to dial in, if you will, and make that adjustment by turning the dial. Sometimes you get too much light, it's too much of exposure, and then a little bit more, and so you balance out. So the balancing right now is really important, as well as recognizing people more by their vibrational frequency as instead of how they look on the outside or the job that they have or the title that you have that they have, because that can fool you. I had a session with someone the other day, and they were talking about somebody that is, you guys would probably, and you would know of this being, which has a challenge in a certain area that a lot of people would not think. And I said, well, that's because the emotional body isn't clear. This person isn't clear emotionally, so they may have some spiritual insight or wisdom, and they have a great following, a huge following. But that doesn't mean that somebody is really awake or really living consciously, not until you've integrated the emotional bodies. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, but you've heard some guests here, not just me, sharing that, is that it's the emotional quotient, the emotional intelligence, the emotional body, because the emotional body is connected or is the same as the astral body. And the astral body is the doorway into the upper regions, the more expanded realms, the more expanded lighter density. The astral body is what connects you to the Akashic. So you can't really read clearly the Akashic records or the etheric records or where the knowledge is or where, you know, everything that is going on in the world and in the universe. You can't really do psychic or soul reads or readings unless your emotional body is clear, and hopefully you keep working on it so it gets clearer and clearer and clearer, because otherwise you mucky up the waters. This is the astral body is also where there's attachments. So people that are having issues, and it's going to be happening more and more, especially because we have this a certain aspect right now to Venus, which Diane Lerner, if you hear me, I was telling you about this. It's a Venus square. I think it's Venus square Neptune, actually, right now. I could be wrong. If there's any astrologers in the bunch, you can correct me. I'm open to that. But to me, it reflected this whole idea of right relationship, right livelihood. And you're going to hear me keep weaving that in, because as we get closer to the gateway of May, June, and then the other gateway that's happening, the portal of light, November, December, you are going to see an intensification of drama, trauma, intensity in relationships and in right livelihood. So that's why some people losing jobs, some people getting jobs, some people having a job and realizing it's not the right job, relationships changing, where I had someone tell me the other day with a very close to their wife, and they said, well, I don't know, I just didn't share that. Well, it doesn't mean that they're not close anymore. I explained to this person, I said, but maybe you're learning to have a stronger sense of self and that some things you want to work through on your own, or you want to take counsel first with yourself and then share. So you notice changes in relationship and your own personal relationship. You know, the first right relationship that we need to concern ourselves with or contend with is our relationship to ourselves, and that is of the higher self to the little or lower self. That's hugely, hugely important. And a lot of people forget that. They think, oh, well, right relationship has to do with me and somebody else. And that somebody else, first and foremost, is you. So that's what you want to be aware of, that how is your connection? Are you embracing yourself? Are you judging? Are you tuning in more to your gifts? Are you taking time to get clear, to meditate, whatever form that you're taking, which I have some great freebies of meditation on MySpace. So if you want to go there, there's one at Great for Alignment. Now I have some of your emails, and I did send out an alignment meditation, by the way. So that helps with raising the vibrational frequency, so that if you do want to, if you want that, otherwise you can download on iTunes for 99 cents, but I'd like giving. So if you want one, just email me at info@selfinlight.com, and that's I-N-F-O, obviously, at selfinlight.com, Inlight. So we are self in light. We are in light. And because we're in light, we're actually already enlightened and just waking up to this. But what blocks our enlightenment, what blocks our awareness is, again, the unhandled emotions or emotional body, the astral body, chronic stuck states, condition response patterns, all those block our energy. Those people that are in relationship to people that they feel it's very sticky or not going anywhere, that is usually can be from a past life or other dimensional experience. Anything that's very sticky or hard to get away from or hard to understand or kind of put your finger on it, what's going on, is usually astral in nature. So it's because it's astral in nature, it's going to be affecting the emotional body. And why do we want to clear that is because the emotional body is the carrier wave. When our emotional body is clear, we can hear the messages of the higher directive. We can hear the messages of spirit, our spiritual center. And we begin to live out the promptings or the blueprint of our soul and our energetic matrix, the true matrix that we came here. The Pleiadians talk a lot about this, some are from that place in space and time. The emotions are really important. That's why people that have situations that, let's say, or you know, again, they could be misled or be feeling like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I feel like I'm lost somehow. That means you're not connecting to your soul's purpose. That means that you're operating off of conditioned responses or conditioned patternings or programming, whether it's from the mass programming of society. You know, we all have a little bit of that, and a little bit of that we're meant to, you know, have to interface in this world. But too much of it brings confusion on. That's something else will work as a, you know, as a channel to help people with that. But it's a lot is the emotional. If you've got to clear that emotional, that energy in motion, because that energy in motion actually it creates a veil. That's why you see right now on the planet more things are being revealed. There's more transparency as the veils lift. Well, part of that is because the emotional work that's been done for eons on multidimensionals by the light workers is to clear that density, that heavier light. It's like a blanket that holds things over. Here's an example. Hi, little light. Here's an example. If anybody's ever been in a relationship where you just feel so drawn to that person and you don't know why, even though maybe the relationship isn't the most life-enhancing for you, and you just sort of drawn, and maybe you try to break up, or they try to break up with you, and you get back together, and it still doesn't work, but you keep trying, and you're back and forth. You're under another dimensional or past life, some people would say karmic, situation there. That means there's something within your emotional body signature, not necessarily the soul, because the soul doesn't cause sticky glue. When we come together on a soul level, it's lighter, and people come together because of inspiration, because of cooperation, because of, you know, a shared understanding of something. And when you come together on a soul level, it's usually something that's bigger than the two people or three people or the group. Just like we come here, we connect, we share, you know, we have great gifts on, and then everybody goes in their world and shares their knowledge, their insight, their awareness. There's this wonderful sharing. Well, you notice in codependent relationships, there's not a lot of sharing going along. Usually people are enmeshed in each other. So that enmeshment is your key or your clue that you are in a transference of beliefs or ideas or programming that really isn't about you, and you're not really following your true path. You're stuck in, if you will, in an emotional cul-de-sac. You're stuck in a program that's playing over and over. And there's ways to shift out of that. And what I'm loving right now is there's a lot of people, not just me, that are talking about this. You know, that's what a soul retrieval is. You know, Hank Wesselman mentioned it. We have Dr. Bruce Lipton on. He talks about this. There's others, too, I'm not quite remembering right now. But many people now waking up going, okay, if we're going to get to the soul's imprint, if we're going to get to our original matrix, the energetic matrix, the truth of who we are, and live multidimensionally consistently, this part of us has to be cleared, but not gotten rid of. It's not a pain body or something. There's nothing wrong with the emotional body. There's nothing wrong with having pain. You have it from the instinctual brain. It's just you don't want the stuck or chronic state, because one of the reasons that we all incarnated here is to experience different realities, different shades, if you will, different colors within the rainbow spectrum. So some people come that are more sensing, some are more emotional, some are more intellectual, some a little bit of both, some more touchy-feely types. Some people more in their head, you know, more internal, more introverted. Some people more extroverted. Some people more psychic, using their intuition. Some people need to have it spelled out. Some people more visual. So you've got all this different interplay, and that's part of what we're doing here is we are playing. We're creating games to play, almost like in a sandcastle, building the castles up to tear them down and build something new. While we're doing this, though, there are many that are encoded with a certain frequency and a certain understanding, a certain remembering, re-membering, as my friend Ulrich likes to say, it was on Wednesday, and I've been saying for many years that we remember, it's remembering is putting it all back together. Well, we're doing that so that we now have this density as a playground, but as a higher vibrational frequency of experience, so that it's not, basically in the one way we're clearing, it's like a big house cleaning, clearing out the astral body. That's where a lot of wars are fought. That's the emotional body. It's all based by the emotional state or the energy in motion. But we need that energy in motion to get things done, to co-create. It's really the carrier wave of the vibrational frequency is the energy in motion. Because once that energy in motion is cleared, it becomes light, then you start operating at an expanded frequency, a higher frequency, where you're more into the feeling, sensing realm. And that's where your intuition or telepathic energy comes in. Let's see, who else? I think there was a question. There can be so many things. Anybody? Hi, Mystic. Hi, Dawn. Hi, Star Goddess. Hello, everyone. Just checking in. I kind of went off, and boy, channeling started coming through. Why are we all here? Because we really just want to be. That's the idea, you know, and sometimes just remembering, too, that we agreed to come here to do this. Not on our conscious mind or, you know, rational mind, but by our signature pattern. Our signature pattern has been encoded to be here at this time to help in this evolution, to assist in this evolutionary process. And we have the internal insight and awareness to be able to do this. So it's not that we sat up in some big, you know, classroom or something, because where we all came from, there is no physical form. And we are a collective in that space of the all that is. We are light beings. But that light being or light body has extended out into a dense physical body, or seemingly more physical, the subtle energy where it gets denser to create form. That doesn't mean that there's not people aren't, you know, from other, you know, planets and such like that, dimensions and stuff. But still, I want us to go even beyond that cosmic classroom, to the light form that we are, and to the formlessness, so that we go into the vibration of who we are, which is even beyond the light. The light is an extending from the vibration. And, of course, beyond the vibration is the void, the connection of the all that is. So that's when you're becoming more psychic, more telepathic. You start going into that realm where you are operating more as a light form or a light being, as opposed to an emotional being, or even just a human being. You bring that light energy, because what is light is also information. You bring that into the human experience. So you are going to begin seeing, as I've already been seeing it lately, more of the telepathic communications, just like animal beings do. You're going to see more of that telepathic communication, and also a kinetic telepathy, which as I'm able to feel with you, and some of you in the chat have been able to do this also, where we're feeling each other, even though we are not in a close proximity. You can feel each other in the chat. I'm doing it right now. So when you're doing a transmission, which I'll begin to do actually right now, and you will feel, if you're connected in, you will feel that transmission. And that's a kinetic telepathy. It's being, in a sense, like a television. It's being sended or transmitted. You will begin to feel that, and within the body and also within the mind. You'll begin to interpret what that message is, even without there being words, similar to what happens with telepathy. So we'll have more of those experiences and use them as part of that sixth sense that many of us, you know, many people use already, some people more than others, but moving into that space of awareness where we're closer to that oneness and recognizing that oneness and living that oneness, that things become beyond words. There's just a knowing, there's a feeling, there's a sensing. And you receive messages from that space and place of awareness, and you're able to teleport those messages to others, that they receive those messages, and you can have a wonderful communication also that way. Another dimension that will be expanding more is people becoming more psychic, which I'm going, yippee, yippee, more and more channelers, more channeling, more psychic. But again, for it to be for the most life enhancement or pure intent, the emotional body has to be clear, and for people not to be projecting things and to really have clearer insight or information. But there needs to be many people doing this, because we have so many different types of people on the planet, right? Everybody has a different proclivity. Everyone has a different, oh, you're welcome, Tammy. Tammy in the chat, the Sacred Path of Empowerment, is saying, this is really resonating with me. You're welcome. This must be for you, because this wasn't what I was planning on talking about. And then the guides are here. My ears are ringing. Sometimes what happens when I start working a little more other dimensionally, I get a ringing in my ears, and I kind of a hollow sound. I don't know how to explain it, but almost like when you're on the airplane and you can't hear, I guess when your ears are popping, that happens to me. And then I will literally hear a high-pitched sound. So wake up, little light, Debbie in the chat. One of the ways that we track what we need to be doing is, you know, obviously tuning in for ourselves, tuning in meditation, prayer, visioning, things like that, working with someone that can assist you in that or help facilitate that with you, not for you, but with you. Also things like, you know, astrology maps the transition, the ultimate transition with their personal, collective, galactic, if you will, you know, metaphysics, the esoteric sciences, tarot, the Kabbalah, many forms, numerology. Another form for me that has been, and I want to talk about this a little bit before I call our guest, a form for me has been the I Ching and connecting in with Taoism, which is the way. It's also the flow. So that you have a way, you know, because even though I'm a psychic medium and a channeler and I get information even for myself and I work with mentors, I still like the physical form. I like receiving in many different ways and having my self-development and my spiritual integration, because I'm still evolving, obviously, right? In many different forms and many different ways. And sometimes, you know, we're working maybe more mentally. Maybe it's our beliefs, so we're working more on the mental plane. Sometimes it's the physical. Sometimes it's the material. Sometimes it's the emotional, like I was just talking about, the emotional body. Sometimes it's a combination. And sometimes it is having a discipline that allows you to see, are you in, is your personal flow with the flow of the all that is, with the larger flow? Is your little micro flow in the flow with the macro? Are you in alignment? We can also say as above, as so below, as within, as without. A wonderful way for me to have checked that is the I Ching. And I've studied a lot of different forms or versions of the I Ching. One that I have, those that know me well, I'm on the second one, is The Guide to the I Ching by Carol K. Anthony, who was our guest today. I got it, I guess this one first came out in 88, and I think that's when I started reading it, or maybe early 90s, because I think I got it when I was living in Europe. One was so tattered. I still have that. I put it in a plastic bag, and it just fell apart because I had it for, well, since 88. So what is that, or 90 the most? So how many years ago that is? And then a dear friend gave me her husband's copy, as he had crossed on, and I turned them on to it, and which is a great gift to me, as I was able to assist in that, his crossing, his transition. It was an amazing experience, very conscious, very aware transition. So I have recommended this book to so many friends, so many colleagues, so many clients. I've used it in workshops. I actually used it when I was studying in England and my paperwork wasn't right and I almost got deported and I was in the middle of my studies. And I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Let's not go from the ego. Let's not freak out. Let's not have fear. For instance, right now I just opened the page and I've got hexagram 32, duration. Go on as before without wavering or changing direction. We get this hexagram when we wonder what state of mind we should have. Conditions have changed. We wonder whether we should be more open or more reserved. Should we be glad and more relaxed or should we be wary? The hexagram counsels that we should go on as if nothing has changed. Often we hope that the change is for the better or we dread that it may be for the worse. Involved in hoping and dreading, our ego insinuates that we should do something to aid or to block or to adapt to what is happening. So it's a form of meditation, really, the I Ching, can be. And to me, that little passage I just read sums up in a way that what we were talking about is it's so important that everyone begin, especially those of you that are already living awake and are light workers and really out there in the world, is that you have a guidance system that keeps the ego in check. In other words, it keeps the ego aligned to the soul or the higher self, you know, that so that the spiritual input can come through. And for me, that I Ching does it. And the one thing I like, too, and I'm going to have to tickle Carol about this when I get her on the line, is that sometimes when you read I Ching versions that are done, that are Eastern, and they have the language of hundreds of years ago, it's easy to kid yourself. You know, it's easy to say, oh, this means this, you know, and change it, you know. An influence under the bed, you know, is something, you know, great. Or three pigs and flying fishes means that I'm, you know, meant to push this relationship because I know what's right, you know. What I like about Carol K. Anthony's version is it's a Western version and it's very to the point. You cannot fool yourself. You cannot kid yourself into some kind of ego decision, you know. So, let's see. ZSC, where? Let's see, she is. I'm going to give her a call. So those of you that don't know of her, our guest today, she uses the I Ching as a means to access the inner truth. So you can use your I Ching as a way to access the inner truth as an oracle. And Carol K. Anthony has the I Ching Institute, which was founded in 2000. Which is to teach and share the new discoveries that they have learned from the I Ching. And these new discoveries came about after they had learned a new way to communicate with the oracle that had enabled them to clarify its messages. So I'm really excited. This is exciting for me because I've been using this book for so long and really, using it, but living it also, I guess is the best way for me to put it. I just put something in the chat for somebody. So I'm really kind of excited, but also, you know, this has been a great guide for me to use this book. I don't know if anybody else has used the I Ching before. And if you haven't, I definitely think that it's a great tool. You know, again, we're talking about tools to clarity, tools to be, to keep our awareness.
Hello.
Hi, Carol.
Yes, hello, Michelle.
Hello, great to hear you. You are on Awakenings.
Yes, well, it's very nice, very good of you to ask me to come, and I'm sure I will enjoy being here.
Yeah, oh, I was just saying how my book is so tattered, you know. I'm on my second one, by the way, of a guide to the I Ching. The first,
are you really?
Yeah, the first one is so tattered, but I still kept it because it says memory. I've got it in a bag and put away. And then a great friend of mine got me another one because they would look at. I would take the book out and I'd say, you know, well, let's see what the I Ching has to say. And they'd be, oh, Michelle, that it's so tattered. You still using it? I'm like, I know.
Oh, I didn't realize that you were an inveterate user of the
Oh, yes. And I've read quite a few versions, but what I was sharing with the listeners and participants in the chat room is that, you know, some of the other versions, it's very easy to fool yourself into what the meaning is because, the words are obscure and the way that it's written. And but your version is very, there's no excusing, you know, when it says, you know, your ego is, you know, it's got some pretty, straightforward, language, which is great.
Well, I just have to say it was some present to me by the cosmos because it just spoke to me in my time of need, and I realized that these metaphors were that they were metaphors rather than other things, and that helped a great deal to recognize that.
Now, how did you get? How did you start writing this book? How did you come to the I Ching, which, and also if you just explain a little for those, some people are aware of it, I'm hearing in the chat, of what the I Ching is, but for those that are not, if you just touch on that a little bit and how you came to write this amazing oracle. I mean, this amazing, it's not even a book, oracle.
I was in a state of great need at the time, and I kept getting keeping still, which is a hexagram that it tells you to, relax.
Number 52.
Yes, and to meditate, really. I didn't catch on that it was saying meditate, but I kept getting it repeatedly, and I had not been able to sleep. And so I thought, maybe it means to meditate after about, five or six times getting it in a row. And, of course, that was kind of interesting that I got that repeatedly. But then I thought, I'll meditate, and I don't know how, but I'll try. And I began to sleep. Then I started getting hexagrams that, in a way, told me how to meditate. And I found that I was guided in this way to learn to bring myself into my own center.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, when I was consulting the I Ching, and, I get these messages, I don't know what it's saying, but maybe within a week, I suddenly got it. So I started keeping a note card file, a 50 to 64 hexagram card file, and I had an I Ching group that met every week, and after a while, people said, well, what have you got in your file? And they decided, that's interesting.
Huh.
And over a period of 7 years, I finally, it became rather complete. And
Hello? That was very interesting. Okay. So I don't know what I'm going to call again. Did everybody hear that? Some music came on. None of the music that I have playing. And we'll try that again. That was very interesting. Little scenario.
Hello.
That was interesting. Do you know what that was?
I'm not sure what.
It wasn't on my end. It was some interesting music that I've not heard before. Some piano. Yeah, she was.
Oh, I'm supposed to put this on some kind of Star 70, aren't I? Maybe somebody was trying to call in.
Oh, that's okay. You heard it too, Mystic Light. So
didn't. No, I didn't hear the music.
Oh, you didn't? Well, we have, I will tell you, when the vibrational frequency gets high here, we have sometimes music phenomena. One time we had, or sound. One time we had bells or something. I don't know. It was like
really?
It was, I don't know if anybody was in the chat. It's just, some kind of chimes or something or bells, but yours was like some kind of piano.
Really?
And I'm looking, and I don't have that kind of music in my file here.
My goodness.
That was so. Welcome to awakening.
Well, I'm more awake than I was.
That's right. Exactly. Well, and you were talking about how you came about the doing this version.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, Carol, were you using another version of the I Ching, and then you were...
Yes, I was using the Wilhelm.
Oh, the Wilhelm. Okay, I have that one. Yes. Oh, that one. Yeah, that one. That one you can fool yourself on. So I'm glad. I'm glad you deciphered it.
Yes. Well, I didn't. I think I got help. I cannot say I, you know, did it, because I feel that now when some insight comes, it has a source that's not in my mind. It may be coming from a deep subconscious or a deep unconscious something. I often now, I started thinking of it, this as a teacher, an inner teacher that was helping me. And I've always felt that that teacher has been there when I ask for help.
Mm.
And that's been my experience. And I learned that there, in the meantime, there are just tons of helping energies if we ask for them. That's something that has, you know, it took me many, many more years to realize that when it says helpful friends in the I Ching, it means there are helping energies there to be asked. And if we ask for them, they really help.
Yeah. Whatever, I call them magic helpers, right?
Yes. Yes. I call them helpers too.
Do you too? Yeah. There really are these unseen forces, these energies, energy beings, whatever, that... do come to your aid, and you can feel them.
Yes, yes. And
yeah.
You can feel when they're not there.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I find that they give your life a fullness and a positive and a wonderful energy that when they're not there, you feel a little bit depressed.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. There are times, because a big part of my meditation, and that's reminding me, is the I Ching. When I do use your book, and also I've used it as an oracle also.
Oh, yeah.
It's very predictive. And especially people, anybody listening with relationship issues, I tell them, before you do anything, do their I Ching.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know, I got it at a time when I really needed economic help, and I started getting this wonderful, I had this wonderful opportunity come along that I would never have thought was appropriate for me, but it paid all my bills and got me out of this difficulty, and I learned so many I Ching lessons because I was using the I Ching as my guide through this whole, well, there were 13 years of this, and that led to publishing my book, putting my own publishing company together. I thought, well, you know, nobody would know. I don't speak Chinese. I just learned from the I Ching itself. And people would say, well, do you have a degree in this and that? You know, if they were going to publish a book on it. And I thought, well, you know, I'll just publish it myself because it's experiential.
Right.
And,
I can't believe they would ask if you have a degree in for the I Ching.
Oh, believe me.
Oh, my God.
They would want a degree in Chinese philosophy.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't think it's so true as it used to be,
mm-hmm.
because the first edition of the book, of the guide came out in 1980, and there have been some kind of repetitions of it.
Mm-hmm.
In other publishing companies, well, at least one anyway that I know of. And so I think that they, you know, not all publishers would ask for that degree nowadays.
Right, okay. You started, yeah, in the beginning. Well, I know I have, and I can't think of the names right now, and Ha Chi Ni. I mean, I have probably four or five different versions of the I Ching because I love the idea, the Tao. The Tao is the way,
mm-hmm.
the flow. But those ones I look at and I read, but if I really want to know what's right action for me without BSing myself, what do I really need to do or not do, which is usually what it is, I go to your A Guide to the I Ching.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. I'm so glad that it's so helpful. That's the only reason to have done it. I thought I only wanted to publish it because I wanted to share the help I had received.
Hmm.
And that is the only reason now I feel to publish anything.
Right, because you want to help.
Yeah, if it's not helpful, why bother?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, it's not coming from the ego then.
Well, yes, it's very tempting, isn't it, to get all inflamed with your own ego.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my battles with it. I don't battle with it anymore. I've learned that you don't not battling with it somehow diminishes it.
Diminishes the ego.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad for you to say that, because a lot of times people, you know, they want to resist something or battle, and then that the ego is doing, or this idea, which I call the conditioned ego or the constructed, and that battling just causes whatever's going on to persist.
Yes, and sometimes makes it much worse. I know somebody called me once from Spain. He was a commodities broker, a U.S. person who was there. And he said, I came to your book, and he said, I've been using it I've been meditating 20 hours a day, and he was driving himself crazy trying to struggle with the ego. And in a way, what happened was the ego was struggling with the ego. The ego was leading the battle and getting all that energy.
Oh, God, it's getting all the energy.
And I can only feel that the ego wants all of your energy.
Mm-hmm.
So giving it none is the best way to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting into any battles with it.
So let me go back. Now, before you studied the I Ching, were you drawn to anything else, you know, spiritually or spiritual integration?
I really wasn't. I had done a lot of different things, and my original aim was to be a playwright, and I read a lot of literature on plays. I didn't succeed in dialogue. I wasn't very good at it. And so I did a lot of reporting and editorialized writing for the local papers, and wrote a history of this town, and I did a lot of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't too involved in spirituality. I was very early on, because my grandmother was very conservative, like a Southern Baptist, really.
Oh.
I thought she was very devout, and I thought I respected her, but she said something once that made me realize that all of her views were based on fear.
Mm.
And I thought, I can't follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't see that the cosmos or universe wants to dominate you through fear.
Right.
And that's when I sort of made a break with that. And so I didn't really, but when I was in need, I thought, there's something, I need help, and it's beyond me, and I don't know where it is. And so I just asked for help. And it came, very shortly, with a friend brought me the I Ching.
Wow. So you think it was that asking for help that kind of shifted?
Yes. And I didn't put two and two. It happened very fast, and I didn't put two and two together. And I was kind of skeptical about the I Ching, because I thought, oh, that's paranormal, and I'm not sure. We raised tables in college, and I don't think that was, you know, I didn't want to go that way.
Wow. Rachel. Oh, but, yeah. I remember well, because I got involved in just about every little thing, and I remember teenagers, I don't know, probably 13, 14, we read a book about that, and we tried, what's the thing, a Ouija board, we did do the table,
uh-huh.
But I think we were lifting it with our knees, but I don't know, but we did do the table,
I just thought, I just don't want to go that route.
That's right, yeah.
But this really spoke to me so keenly, the first several times, and then I sort of, you know, I think, I held back for a long time. No matter how much it helped me, I held back with doubt for about a year or so or two. And I thought, you know, it really had helped me in every way, because it gave me an inner peace and a way of approaching problems that I had never, in a way it was a little more passive than I regard it today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regard it so passive, because I went through a period when I realized that there is some activity in the I Ching. It says, you know, now it's time to go out of the courtyard, go out to do something. But every time I did something, it didn't work because it was external. And I found that it really has to do with saying no to what is disharmonious inside myself and outside, an inner no. And when I learned that lesson, it made a big shift for me. That I didn't go, because not saying no when something's disharmonious gives it permission. And I meant an inner no, not outer.
Yeah,
because outer no engages the ego.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like not accepting what is disharmonious.
Wow, I like that. What is not accept? You know, to me too, and I've been saying this to some people, that something's not a match. It's not a fit, you know. And I always quote your, you know, in your book you have, you know, in the I Ching you leave a, you know, a window open, maybe a door, maybe just a window.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I'm above duality. I'm not in that dual plane of right or wrong. If I just say this isn't a match right now, I leave the
door. Yeah, that's the same thing.
The same thing.
I mean by that. Mm-hmm.
That inner no, and you really do when you're, you know, doing the I Ching, you really do get that. Almost like this, it's like it's palpable. It's a psychic energy. You can feel it directing.
Yes.
And if you really relax into it, you can see, no, no, don't go that way. No, there's a subtle energy push going, no, no.
Right.
Even if you want to do something or say something like, I need to right this wrong. I need to do, no, no, just.
Well, you know what? I find it really joyful. I was so full of troubles, I couldn't have found it joyful. I mean, it was helpful, but I couldn't find it so joyful. But it has made my life so joyful. And it has taught me that the baseline for all good things is gratitude. When I can have, if I have a bad mood coming on, that I'm missing out on gratitude. And once I realize that, the bad mood's gone. It doesn't have any room anymore. So life has become progressively more joyful. And I find so much joy in so many small things. I don't look for the big things don't interest me as much. You know, just watching a chipmunk go across my porch.
Yeah. Oh.
Or a bird, visit a bird feeder, or the dogs walking around in the neighbor's yard. I mean, or a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
It's all so wonderful.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I don't know, months ago, maybe longer, a friend I hadn't seen in years, and actually lived in a different state together, acquaintance friend, and she actually was married to somebody very prominent in the TV and film industry, and kind of a messy divorce, so she kind of didn't want to be in that world anymore. But she saw me, you know, I was playing with my dog, with Yoshi, and I guess I had just such love, and we were laughing, and I was throwing this ball, and I was just so into it, because it was just like, you know, the birds are out, it's beautiful, I'm at the beach, I mean, it was just... And she, I guess, was watching, and then she says, Michelle? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, oh, I knew it couldn't have been somebody from L.A. or Hollywood. And I'm like, okay, just calm down. You know, I said, she goes, well, you were so, she goes, I'm thinking that woman is so happy and so in joy and so discontent. And I said, yeah, because it's a great moment right now, you know.
Yeah.
But it was funny. She was watching. Then, of course, she knew me. Because she's very much like that also. She's, you know, very in tune.
That would be her normal way, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, Carol, just to segue a little bit back, because I really am interested in this process. So you started reading one book, the Wilhelm version or Wilhelm version, and then you were getting, intuitive messages as to the interpretation? Is that how
I might be, you know, I found that if I had a method that came about by overusing it, which settled down into doing 6 hexagrams at a time. It was very time consuming.
Wow.
I didn't have that much time, but because I was running a business too. but and raising four kids. But I still had to do it. I had to, because it was such a support. People thought I was crazy, and they thought, oh, she's rattling her coins all the time. And she's so dependent on it. But and I, somebody said, aren't you a little too dependent on it? And so I thought, I'll ask the I Ching. And the I Ching came back with the answer. If you have a good friend and you that knows the secrets of the kingdom and you make no use of that friend, isn't it a shame? That sort of solved my problem.
Yeah.
I kept with it. I overused it. And but I sort of settled into this sixth pattern. And I realized that at the first would be like, it was like telling me, all right, this is what I'm going to talk to you about. And then I would have inner questions at that. And then so the second one would answer my most important inner question. The third one would make it a little more clear. The fourth one a little more clear. Well, anyway, by the sixth, I had to have a conversation. I had had a kind of conversation with the I Ching. And I understood what it was talking about.
Wow.
Well, that boiled down later to a different system that I learned in 1994, which was much better. And that was using the three coins for yes and no. I used it retrospectively to ask the I Ching, am I understanding what you're trying to say? And I would get three no's.
Yeah. So how did you, now if you, that's interesting. So if you,
I'm just teasing. You know, sometimes it was three yeses. But then it would tell you, like saying, I want to teach you some more. So two no's would mean basically no, and two yeses, basically yes, but there's more to learn.
Hmm.
And so I would say, well, are you meaning this? Because it seemed to be implied in the text. Maybe it would say yes, and I would go further on that in that direction. If it said no, then I'd drop the questioning in that direction and try to see what that metaphor was talking about. And in this way, I enabled the teacher to show me, in a way, new perspectives. And that was wonderful. And I would say now it's sort of like people say, well, how do the coins work? They don't work if you've already got an opinion.
Okay.
They just reflect your opinion. But if your mind is open, as it says in, you know, hexagram four, keeping your mind open basically is what it wants you to do, so that you're not looking only through the framework that you come with, so that you're open to learning something outside that framework.
And now, how would you say people should do, would one get quiet to do the I Ching, or do you find the throwing of the coins as the meditation, or should you still yourself first?
Well, I try to get in a space where I'm neutral.
Okay.
I don't have a perspective. If I have already, if I ask a question, is that person trying to get on my nerves? Well, maybe I already know that, so he will say yes.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's what I know, or maybe no, because I already know.
Right. Well, that's what you have in the book. Are you coming to the I Ching with the right attitude, or whatever that saying is?
Yes. Right. And so if you're if you keep an open, neutral mind about when you're throwing the coins, and a sincere desire to learn, it doesn't answer a suspicious attitude, as you probably know already.
Yeah.
Because you've understood that. Or a, I used to get, I had this suspicious attitude, and I got the hexagram 13, Fellowship of Men, which it was trying to tell me that I had reservations of attitude that were keeping me from learning, the reservation being my doubt.
Mm.
And so reservations often can mean a preconceived idea that you're holding to that won't allow a new insight.
Okay.
But if I kept my mind open, it would just be a wonderful teacher giving me a new perspective of just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Where do you think this is coming from?
Where the this
the insight? Where would you say on the I Ching?
Today, I would say it's it's a little more complicated than it was earlier. I just looked at the sage as my cosmic teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I've learned that it is the sage, as I speak of it, is an interpreter, like a translator, of what we know in our deepest inner truth, which is nonverbal, into a verbal language that the mind can understand.
Mm. So it's an interpreter of what's happening cosmically.
Yes, and in that respect, it's also in connection, it's our biggest connection with the whole cosmos, which
yeah.
is our source.
Well, here's something interesting. After 20 years of reading or using your book, what I began
wow.
to see, yeah, is that everything, I think since 90, that's why that one was so tattered.
That's the one that fell apart, wasn't it?
Yeah, the one that fell apart, and I got another one. But I began to look at positions of everything, and my friends and I would do it, even going to a cafe, we used to go to this place called the Third Coast. Even how the plate, our coffee cup, whatever
mm-hmm.
was laid out on the table would have a configuration of a hexagram. And when we would read it, there would be meaning there.
Yes. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, isn't that? And I thought, God, everything is always telling us what's going on. It's just like you say, it's the interpretation. The oracle is a tool. Now, we do have a question in the chat from Debbie. If you could explain more about what that's a good point. Explain more about what the I Ching is.
Okay.
Yeah, let's start with
I'd write a book on that subject someday. Well, it is an oracle.
Okay.
And it is a mirror of your unconscious.
Okay.
That's what Carl Jung found it to be, too, and I absolutely agree. It is a mirror of, and what your I distinguish now the unconscious from the subconscious.
Yeah.
The unconscious is the feeling knowledge that is in the DNA of every cell.
Mm.
And that knowledge is almost infinite. It is the sum total of human experience in developing in interfacing with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It knows how to do that better than anything that's in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a direct relationship with the oracle reflects what you already.
Oh my God, it does it again. Carol, you're still on the line, and I don't know why. I don't know what to do because it's not coming from me.
Hello?
Yeah, it did it again.
You know what? Somebody was trying to call. I'm going to go star.
Okay. Up and do it. You have to hang up and do it. That's fine.
Oh, really? Okay, I have to hang up first?
Well, let's see, if you do star 70. So when that music comes on, it's you. Well, at least, okay.
That was what it was, somebody trying to call in.
Oh, and it does that sound? It does the music?
It did that the other day when I was talking with somebody in Europe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happens.
So what you do is, let's see if we don't get disconnected.
Let's hope not. I told the person, please, don't call right now.
Well, we'll try it again. It's kind of interesting. It's a mystic air, white light in the chat is sitting. It's mystic air piano.
But really what the I Ching does is it's really telling you what you know on this deeper level. And it's sort of like a lie detector. It will not let you lie to yourself.
Yeah, no, it won't. No, it will not. That's very true. Yeah, it gives you that.
And that knowledge that we have is in harmony with the cosmos. That's what makes it us united with all other people, as you were putting it. You know, we are united with people on this fundamental level.
Okay, now we have a question here. Let's see. Whoop, now they just disappeared. Boy, this is interesting.
Oh.
They just put that they had a question in the chat, and now they poofed, gone.
Oh.
So 336, if there was a technical difficulty, come back. I tried to get to the switchboard to get you on air. think it was
the channeling at the beginning of Awakenings of the program. Now, where does the I Ching come from?
Well, it comes from China.
Okay.
It had its origin, even in a nonverbal form. It came into a verbal form or a written form we have today in 3,500 years or 200-300 years.
Oh, now they're back. Okay, they're back in two different numbers. Okay, let's see. All right, we're going to try here. Hi, 336-991, you're on the air with Awakenings.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, how are you? Did you have a question or comment?
No, I have
a guest?
Question.
Okay, great. So you're on the air with Carol. Hello?
Yes. What is the question?
Hello?
Yes, what is your question?
I'm sorry about that. I have a question about the Oracle. If you were stating earlier, what is the I Ching? What is that?
Okay.
The Ching is the word. It means classic Chinese text. There are about five classic Chinese texts. This is called the E, and E means achieving the clear. What is clear? And it is an oracle, meaning that when you ask it, it helps you to know yourself. Oracles do not tell you the future, or they don't solve your problems like telling you what to do. They tell you what your inner truth says.
So how much is one of them? How much is the oracle?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
How much is the oracle?
It's a book. You can go. I have a link on the segment page, and you can go if you want to look at her book or purchase the book. You can get it on Amazon as well as her website, which is iChingOracle.com. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And the simpler version is the guide to the I Ching, but the newer version, which is what we've been working on later, is called I Ching, the Oracle of the Cosmic Way. The cosmic way being your own inner way, really.
Okay, so I'm going to have to get that one. It's Cosmic Way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. There he hung up. Okay, we had another person. There's another 336 that was on the air. You can call back in. I saw that you had a question, so you can call back in. And if you want to go to the website, it's iChingOracle.com.
Right, right.
Okay. And also available on Amazon. So it's about getting clear. You said the Ching means clear?
Yes, it means the easy, too.
The easy, yes, that's what I heard before. The easy,
the easy
way.
Mm-hmm. The easy, the clear, and the constant. Something that does not, that by the constant it has duration.
Mm.
We look at it there are two really questions that the I Ching gives you. It says success and misfortune or regret. Those are the oracle sayings. Mm. And success means when you are in harmony with your inner truth, you are in harmony with the cosmos, and the cosmos is full of helping energies that will help you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not in harmony with your own inner truth, you are not in harmony with those cosmic energies, you shut them out. And it's not that they leave you alone, you simply have divorced yourself from them, therefore they don't help you.
Mm. Yeah, they don't help you. That's interesting. Okay.
It's as if they can't help you because they cannot go against harmony.
Is that what it is?
Yes. They are not able to violate the principles that uphold the cosmos, which are principles of harmony. If the cosmos depended on conflict, it would have destroyed itself long ago.
Interesting. Oh, that makes sense. So everything when you're doing the reading, it's guiding you to that which is of the most harmony or harmonizes.
That's right. Because all problems can be solved through harmony. We get the help from the cosmos when that happens. And there are just a multitude of helping energies, as you know. The helpers, we call them. There's a helper for every need.
Okay. A helper, okay. So are they different energies?
Yes. I mean, if you look at the world around us, it's full of energy. I mean, for example, the trees that are growing, they're growing from energy. The grass is growing from energy. And these are helping energies.
Mm-hmm.
We call them helping energies. Mm-hmm. And the I Ching calls them helpers that are expert in every need.
Mm. So it's almost like in shamanism, like I'm initiated in rock medicine. It's almost like there's animal medicine, there's rock medicine, there's various forms of energy or energy beings in these forms that can assist you or help you. So it's a different quality of energy. So is that what you're saying, the helpers in the I Ching, depending on what you're going through, what your issue is, would get a different type of helper?
Yes, if you're in a state of need of any kind, you can ask for the helper for that need.
Oh,
and that is fabulous. And even if it's a new need, you can get there's a helper created if you ask. If you know, it's so interesting because we humans have been trained not to ask.
Yeah,
as if something's wrong with asking.
Hmm.
And we have been sort of trained to think that we have to do it all ourselves, that there's nothing out there.
Right.
And that shuts it out. It just puts blinders on us, and we cannot see them, and they can't relate to us. We shut them out. They don't shut us out.
Mm.
Because they have their own quality. They need to be asked.
Okay. Now, someone had also asked about a Kuan Yin I Ching. Have you heard of that?
Well, I've heard the word. I'm not sure which of the I Ching they're referring to.
Okay, so it may be just
I have a whole shelf full of I Ching books here.
You too, okay.
I'm not sure which. I don't see Kuan Yin. I don't know if I have that. I would have to look at them.
Now, sometimes I just open the book and I'm talking to somebody in the chat is asking. Sometimes I do just open it, but when I really need something specific, I will throw the coins, especially if it's a self-development thing, because, again, sometimes you can kind of fool yourself.
Yeah. Although I think a lot of people do, not a lot, I have heard from a number of people who just open it and they found it just great, you know, they just needed that particular hexagram right then.
Yeah. Well, I can even see if there's a changing one, I can see where it's going. And of course, it helps with a psychic, but sometimes that's just enough to create a little adjustment or correction. But this, to me, too, Carol, is fascinating that what you're saying is really it's all about harmony, how to be in harmony within yourself, your inner truth, as you said, and then when you're in harmony, then you're in harmony with the all that is.
Isn't that a marvelous fact?
Yeah. I didn't realize that that's what was going on, that that's what all those adjustments were about, was about the harmony.
Well, you know, we humans have developed some philosophies that have been very much to take us out of that harmony, that is to take us out of the relationship we have with all things.
Mm-hmm.
We have a relationship with all things, but we shut this relationship down through thinking we're better.
Mm.
That is not harmonious.
Right.
And when we do that, we miss out on so much. We just shut down all kinds of aspects of life. But when we see, when we take our true place in the cosmos, we start to feel this harmony that's there.
Mm.
It's like a vibrational level, I guess. It's like music in a way. It's like good music anyway. Music that feels good, that makes you feel harmonious inside. There's a lot of music that isn't very harmonious in that sense, you know, that's exciting or something. That's not what I mean. Music that that brings you in, that is possible to connect you with your deeper self.
Now, when you say specific, if you have like a specific need or issue, there's a helper for that need, would that be just like you said when you started using it was for a finance or something? Would that be the specific question? Like what type of question would somebody pose? Let's say it is for finance.
I just would have said, I need help, please help. And in this case, I've given the name to the cosmic banker.
Okay.
I give a name to the need, right?
You give a name to, okay. So it's in the forming of the question then.
Yeah. I mean, if I have a toothache, I might ask for the helper of my tooth.
Wow, okay.
I find that really helps, believe it or not. I mean, it's so simple that we cannot believe it hardly, but it does help.
Yes. Okay, and we do have another question. Can you use the I Ching for readings for someone else as well, for other people?
Yes, if they're interested. Well, I always ask. I throw the coins. Is this appropriate? Because if they're open, really open, usually it's absolutely fine. But sometimes they aren't. They're only curious or mental, you know, just sort of curious.
Right.
And I never do it for that reason.
Okay. You don't.
But I ask the coins, is that appropriate for me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if it comes up 3 yeses or 2 yeses, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. And what are the yeses? So if you have like 3 heads or 3 tails,
mm-hmm.
I use the Chinese coin. So the yes is 3.
Well, I use heads. Don't
uh-huh.
ask me why. I just
okay.
have always done that. It depends on what you've assigned them to be.
Okay.
If they feel like the positive side for you, that's what they are.
Okay.
And because the sage knows where you're at in that question.
Right. Right. Now, you can also do reading if somebody, let's say somebody, obviously if they're with you, but also if they're not within you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if, let's say, you're in one location and they're in another, you can still do a reading for them.
Oh, yes. It has nothing to do with place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the I Ching is really in harmony with quantum theory in a way. That quantum theory, this is my perspective
mm-hmm.
and what I've learned, that everything is consciousness. You know, if you look at a grain of sand, you think, oh, there's no consciousness in a grain of sand. But if you look at it from an atomic level, consciousness, those moving electrons in every atom, I mean, it's not dead, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily. It has a different consciousness than we do. We don't really need much to communicate with a grain of sand.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a consciousness that everything in the cosmos is made of condensed consciousness. And so our thoughts affect the consciousness of other things. That's the big thing I've learned from the I Ching. I have to be careful what I think about things.
Mm.
Because if I think nasty thoughts about something, I influence that thing.
Mm-hmm. So the thoughts are influencing.
Yes. I'll give an example. I always have trouble a little with sometimes remembering names. The woman who studied chimpanzees for so many years.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. She wrote a book about it, and she had these conclusions drawn. And then they built an observatory with a lot of people coming in looking at them. And now they've changed these chimpanzees are attacking each other and becoming warlike. And, like, one has to ask oneself what they've been projecting on them.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, because you do that thought that you're Jane is her name. Okay, somebody in the tent. Jane Goodall.
Goodall.
There we go. Here we go. Jane
Thank
Goodall.
Thank you for Jane.
Thanks, Tammy. Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and Gary is putting in the chat the unified field. Yes, but that's the thing. We have the we do influence this field.
Yes,
this red field.
Mm-hmm. And we don't realize that we can, when we have disharmonious thoughts about things, it has a negative influence
yes.
on those things. I mean, look at weather patterns and how people describe the storms raging across, it almost gives them human attributes.
Yeah.
I think that they, I remember when I was first here in New England, I would see these, we had a lot of real bad snowstorms, and I would see these ski stickers that said, "Think snow." They gradually died out, but I was not quite sure. I've always wondered if, now looking back on it, how much they influenced the weather.
Yeah, the thought. And that is that quantum theory, you know, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, that we are the substance of the all that is, so we're able to mold it or make it malleable by our thoughts or by our directing our thought towards something.
Well, that's right. And I noticed that that the whole thing about the quantum theory is that they noticed that the researcher, if he had an expected result, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made them astonished about the idea about quantum consciousness. But and the I Ching really guides us to control those negative thoughts, and not, it doesn't mean think positive. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to remake the universe. It means simply to stop the negative things.
Mm.
And let it be natural, because we don't know what natural is anymore.
Mm-hmm. So when you're
natural is harmonic.
Natural is the harmony, being in harmony.
That's right. And it happens all by itself when we let go, and I mean when we stop being disharmonious.
Mm-hmm. I still this is huge for me. That little adjusting, that it really is about us being harmonious,
mm-hmm.
so that we're personally harmonious. That brings us in harmony with the collective then?
No, I would say it depends. You know, we're collective.
Well, I mean the all that is. I don't mean the collective.
Oh, the all that is. Okay.
The all that is. Yeah, that's a better. Yeah, not the collective. No, we don't want to be. I don't mean collective in that sense, but I mean collective as far as the all that is. Yeah.
The collective ego we don't want.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, right.
There is such a thing as we found as the collective ego, and that is the human-centered view that the humans are the all in the cosmos.
Oh, I didn't know about that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a collect. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, I mean, when we have the and what I Ching talks about modesty as the basic virtue, it means to take your true place in the cosmos. As is one with it, in harmony with it.
Okay, in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, Cosmos. I'm going to put that in the chat. So, again, it's being in harmony with everything, you know, and with all beings.
Yes, with all beings. And that means getting rid of the nasty thoughts we might have about it. You know, like, I don't like snakes or blah, 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 and such.
Oh, so everything, Well, I know there's one part in the I Ching where you talk about how that our thoughts influence, and that maybe we've had certain thoughts. Be careful what you. It's 27. Be careful what you're. What are you thinking? Are you thinking unnourishing thoughts or putting unnourishing foods in the body?
You're right. Right. And you know, common sense. That was something we discovered, which was really interesting. That we have not just these five senses that we use mostly the eyes to see everything,
mm-hmm.
and to judge everything by whether it's visibly provable and whatnot. But what we have in addition to outer senses is the insight. You know, insight being an inner vision.
Right.
And we have inner hearing, which when we open it up, we can hear these insights. We can hear these words come sometimes, and then that are really clues. And if we have an inner sense of taste, which we sometimes use in the language as, oh, that tastes foul, doesn't it? You know, that's a situation that has a bad taste. We have an inner sense of feeling, And then we found that we have also a whole lot of what we call metaphorical senses, such as the sense of what is fitting.
Mm.
And what you were talking about a while ago, whether it fits.
Yeah.
And that's what we call a sense of appropriateness, but it's a sense of what feels fitting.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go by these senses, when they're opened up, a lot of them have been closed down because they're actually bodily senses, and we have discriminated against what the body can tell us in a certain way. We think everything comes from the mind.
Right, and we're moving. And my sense is we're moving, you know, in these leaps that are happening, these quantum leaps, these, you know, awakenings, the succession, is that we're moving more, and I say as a collective, because many of us already that are here, it's kind of like, you know, preaching to the choir, so to speak, but eventually on a collective level, people will be living beyond the five senses. That will be the new norm.
Yes.
It's right to trust your inner truth, to trust the subtle energy,
yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
No, wouldn't exciting. That be a different world?
I know. That's the one I'm envisioning. Are you kidding? I'm like, yes, come on, let's do it.
I think once people see the importance of it,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're actually trying to do in you know, writing about this, because it's been so helpful to us. If other people start to see that the world has conflict, it has got to go. It's got
right.
to go.
Right.
And because the solutions we need for the world are not going to be solved by conflict.
No. And, you know, the thing is, if you kept saying the harmony, see, metaphysically, of course, the rising above duality is harmony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's my view anyway.
Yeah.
And when I say absolutely, I agree with you. Absolutely.
I agree with you. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're right, Carol. Let's just be honest. Let's tell everyone we're right.
I don't mean that I'm absolutely.
No, I know. Not on an absolute sense, right? Because there's no absolute.
No.
Gary is saying in the chat, duality is an illusion. Yes, it
yes.
is, but we keep that illusion going. There's a lot with the right and wrong and, you know, good and
yeah,
bad.
Right and wrong. Yeah, we're working on a new book right now, and one chapter is going to be on words that don't really have, they only create a false reality, and right and wrong is one of them. We don't use those words anymore. We really realize that our we have inside us this knowledge of what is harmonious and what is disharmonious, and the I Ching has this one word, one phrase, no relationship with what is harmful.
Mm.
And that's what it means.
Yeah.
When it doesn't feel good, it doesn't, it feels jagged, it feels rough, and it's not for us.
Yeah. I know, I was instructed by the oversouls, my guides that I'm in service with, to not say anymore, you know, you can say something's not good or not evolved on this dimension, but you really, it's better to say not life enhancing, or like we said earlier, not a match,
mm-hmm.
or doesn't fit, or
not helpful.
Because otherwise, we're perpetuating, as Gary said in the chat, the illusion of duality when we're saying something or someone's wrong, or they're not evolved, or they're not conscious. Now we're putting that thought form out there that there's a conscious and an unconscious, and that's how, you know. There
yes.
we go again with creating this, you know, polarity plane again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I love what you're saying about the harmony, because that's rising above, you know, all of that. It's inclusive. It's not setting that illusion in motion.
And it puts aside the ego. We have, you know, the I Ching taught us a whole definition of ego. What?
Oh, we have 90 seconds.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, anyway, what would you like to say?
I have to say I'm tickled. I'm so happy that you were able to come on the show. And just really, it's been great.
It's been fun.
And you've given lots of people some great information. Again, those of you that would love to know more about Carol K. Anthony and the I Ching, you can go to the I Ching Oracle.com. And those that are listening by phone or the podcast or when you get to iTunes, it's ICHINGORACLE.com, ICHINGORACLE.com. We've been speaking with Carol K. Anthony, the author of A Guide to the I Ching, as well as what was the other book, the newer version?
I Ching, The Oracle of the Cosmic Way.
I Ching, The Oracle of the Cosmic Way. Oh, I love the sound of that.
Yeah. Oh, I've been very, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Carol. This has been wonderful.
It's been very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Take care.
You take good care. And thank all of you for joining in and sharing your insight. Great feedback, great insight, great questions. As always, love having all of you here. So go out and shine your light and keep awake. Shine your light. Wait.